mid-year with us for the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Lawmakers around the state are marking Earth Day in a variety of ways. And later this morning, state lawmakers plan to introduce a package of bills involving renewable energy and electronics recycling and more at the Capitol in Madison at 10 a.m. We're going to look at what these proposed measures entail, and you have a line on this State Capitol Report at 800-642-1234. Adam Nealon is the Republican state representative from Pewaukee. He represents Sussex, Pewaukee, parts of Lisbon, and half of the city of Waukesha. Representative Nealon, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thanks, Kate. Happy to be here.
Well, help us understand the overall goal of this package of bills. What do you aim to do here?
Sure. Well, ultimately, I think we can all agree that both Republicans and Democrats, we believe in protecting the environment, preserving our heritage, and ultimately improving the quality of life. So what these package of bills aim to do is provide market-based solutions to help encourage more renewable energy, more clean energy in Wisconsin, and just take a giant step towards improving the quality of life in Wisconsin.
Well, let's go further into these proposals. One measure would involve a charging corridor here in the state for electronic and hybrid vehicles. What would this entail?
Sure. So one of the proposals is called the Clean Energy Corridor, and it provides grants to businesses along major highways connecting Wisconsin to surrounding states to install the electric vehicle charging station. So the charging station would be it would be done similarly to how we did the broadband grants, where private companies can go half and half with the state to build these high-quality, clean energy charging stations. So that way, when people are traveling in their electric vehicle throughout our interstate system, whether it be to work in the morning throughout the state or traveling in the state of Wisconsin, they have certainty knowing that there will be an electric vehicle charging station no more than 70 miles away. It will be close to the freeway, and it will give them a fast charge so they can get in, charge up, and be out on their way in less than a half an hour.
How would the grant program be paid for?
Good question. So half of it would be paid through Volkswagen settlement money. I don't know if your listener base is familiar with this issue, but Volkswagen is basically owes a certain amount to the state through a settlement. And I think there's about $20 million left for the state of Wisconsin to use. Now, there are specific issues that we have to use that money for, and it fits nicely into this program, the Clean Energy Corridor. So about half of that money, the plan is about half that money to be used, about $10 million to go directly into these charging stations for a matching grant program. So about half would be paid by the state based on the settlement funds, and the other half would come from private industries that want to locate these charging stations at their place of business.
Where do you envision this corridor being in the state?
Well, ultimately, I'd like to see it off every interstate in the state of Wisconsin. I think that the most logical place to start is probably the corridor between Illinois and Minnesota along 94, starting in Kenosha and running up through La Crosse and having it being available, throughout the Milwaukee to Madison, and then all the way up to Minnesota. So from one state to the other state, that way, that's where the highest traffic is, and that's also where a lot of our tourism comes from.
We're talking with Adam Nealon, a Republican state representative from Pewaukee and representing the 98th Assembly District, looking at a package of bills being introduced today. And we want to hear from you. What is your reaction to measures like this? Would more charging stations around the state factor into your decision to buy an electric or hybrid vehicle? There's a line for you at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas@wpr.org. Let's look at another bill that would deal with renewable energy rebates. Can you help us understand first what the goal is of this measure in its current form?
Sure. The goal would be for more residential consumers to use more renewable energy. It's starting to catch up in terms of price, and it's for a lot of people, it's a great option. Unfortunately, for a lot of people, there's a lot of upfront costs, right? You know, some people don't want to pay the huge investment to put the solar panels, you know, on their house, but they want to use clean energy, right? They want to use wind, they want to use solar, and the option would be that they could contact their utility provider and let them know that they want to use clean energy, the renewable energy at their home. Almost every utility provider provides a service where they can opt into how much they would like to use, whether it be 25, 50, 75, and 100%. We would make sure that those utility providers are offering that option. And we would also, in your first year, offer that we would pay half of the premium that you would be spending for renewable energy. So whatever increase in your bill would be, I think we have done a study that says it'd be about a 15% increase if you want to run renewable energy to your home. But we would pay, the state of Wisconsin would pay half of that to help more customers opt into renewable energy and help offset some of that cost.
Could this pose challenges at all for energy suppliers in rural parts of the state?
Potentially, but we have talked to a lot of energy providers, and they're very supportive of this plan. They have done a lot of the infrastructure investments already because renewable energy, it has become more and more attractive for residential and business consumers. So they have loaded a lot of renewable energy into their portfolio already. So they like the idea of more people actually capitalizing and utilizing this program. Now, I could foresee if this is an incredibly popular program, which I hope it is, that down the line, you know, instead of being able to offset the cost of 100%, you know, everybody using 100%, you know, it might lock out at 75 or 50% that you would have be only able to use for your renewable and still get your 50% rebate. So instead of it being a high cost for those providers, I think that if anything, we'll just have to draw down the incentive that we offer. But I actually believe that the utilities will be supportive and appreciative of this measure.
And so there's also this training component involving wind and solar energy authored by Representative Mike Kuglich of New Berlin. Can you tell us about the training that you want to have happen and how that works?
Yeah, it sounds like you did your homework, Kate. I'm impressed. So one of the bills that we're putting together has been based on the talks we've had from people within this space, you know, the people that are out there installing the solar and the wind. And like a lot of industries in the state of Wisconsin, they're struggling to find enough workers, enough trained professionals that are able to help install the solar energy panels on people's homes. So we have decided to take it upon ourselves to put together a workforce development initiative that's paid for with Fast Forward dollars, which is a workforce development training program that already exists. We would bring solar and wind education and training grants into that space make sure that we are training the right people to do these jobs, because if we are offering more incentives, you know, and more rebates for people to tap this energy, we want to have the right workforce that's able to make sure that we're able to install these things and make sure that people have that opportunity.
Talking with Representative Adam Nealon of Pewaukee and looking here at the State Capitol Report, it continues in just a moment on the Ideas Network. You're with us for the State Capitol Report as we talk about a package of bills being introduced today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Representative Adam Nealon is with us as we look at the bills focused on clean energy and renewables. He's the Republican state representative from Pewaukee, representing Sussex, Pewaukee, parts of Lisbon, and half of the city of Waukesha. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you want lawmakers to do when it comes to the Knowles-Nelson Stewardship Program? Call in. You can also email ideas at WPR.org. Let's go to the phones now with Tim joining us from Big Bend. Hi, Tim.
Hey, good morning. The question I had is, I love the idea of the energy corridor and electric charging stations, but at the same time, the legislature has been discussing increasing the registration fee for electric vehicles in the state of Wisconsin, and maybe Representative Nealon can discuss that. That on one hand, you want to put these charging stations in, but on the other hand, you want to charge people more for driving electric vehicles.
Representative, what's the give and take here?
Sure, yeah, that's a great question. So the idea of charging people more on the front end when they're registering their vehicles has to go with the notion that they're not paying the gas tax, so that they, you know, we want to see an equal distribution of funds throughout whoever uses the roads to be able to help pay for the roads. So that was the impetus of thinking that there should be a slight higher registration fee because down the line they won't be paying as much in gas tax. So it was trying to even it up. Now, I think that the more we have these electric vehicle charging stations, we could offset that cost and we could bring that registration fee potentially down again, because there is a potential then to do a slight user fee or some sort of fee to when you plug in, but it's just bringing balance. You know, it's making sure that people that have not gone to the electric vehicle and that are paying gas tax aren't having more of a burden on keeping our roads up to date and making sure that we're protecting people with roads and bridges. So that's the thinking behind why that there was a slight increase on the EV. It's not to discourage electric vehicles. Obviously, electric vehicles, you know, are a huge part of the future, but it's just to make sure that there's some balance in the cost burden.
Tim, thanks for the call. Representative, let's turn to this last bill in the package involving the Knowles-Nelson Stewardship Program. This was created in 1989 by the legislature to acquire land for expanding nature-based recreation and to protect environmentally sensitive areas. What would this measure do?
Well, this would be just reaffirming our commitment to preserve the Knoll Stewardship Program. You know, it's had a positive impact on protecting, you know, clean lakes, water, and air. But basically, we want to make a commitment to the people of Wisconsin, to the people that are utilizing our natural resources and preserving our sporting heritage. We just want to make a commitment to them that we're going to preserve the stewardship program, and we're going to hope to expand it and protect our natural resources so that we can carry it on into the future.
But this bill, it isn't without some challenges. Not everyone agrees about what to do with this program. Help us understand what you envision when it comes to reaffirming commitment to this program.
Sure. So I think that there has been some, you know, discussion in the past, and there has been some changes to this program. You know, there are different realities with different budgets. You know, in terms of looking at expanding the program, I think that there was, you know, people wanted to take a step back a little bit when we were $3.6 billion deficit, and we were looking at ways to potentially save money and make sure we balanced our budget. Now that we have a surplus, and I think we'll continue to have a surplus, I think there is more of an appetite to make sure we're expanding this program and make sure that we protect it and it's trending in the right direction opposed to trending in the wrong direction. You know, I think in terms of all of the proposals here, I think this one is probably a minor step just to reaffirm our commitment, but I think it's an important one and it's an important message to the people of Wisconsin that we intend to protect our sporting heritage, our clean air, our clean water, and protect our way of life.
And so the reauthorization is for a 2-year period, not a decade.
Yeah, everything that's done in the budget is basically done on a 2-year period. It's not, you know, that's just the way of kind of how our budget program works. And I don't, you know, I think that it's a lot easier to expand something during a budget, and then you come back and you discuss it each budget. A lot of things are done that way, and this is one of them.
One measure is meant to prioritize electronics recycling in Wisconsin. How does that differ from what already exists in some of our communities?
Well, we're just trying to expand what's currently exists. We're trying to provide more opportunity for people and quite frankly, more awareness. I think that even when there's a program out there that exists, if not a lot of people know about it, then it's not making the desired impact that some of us had envisioned when it originally came about. So I think one of the main focuses of this initiative is to bring more awareness to the initiative, to provide more resources to people to understand where and how and why you should be recycling your electronics. In our society, we have more and more electronics. So we thought it's important to do more and more to make sure people know how to safely and smartly recycle those electronics.
We're talking with Representative Adam Nealon on the State Capitol Report. He is a Republican state representative from Pewaukee, representing the 98th Assembly of District. And we're looking at a package of bills today that are focused on energy and the environment. You know, as you roll out these bills, Representative, are you expecting any pushback on these measures? Do you have a sense that there is bipartisan support here?
I would say yes to both of those things. I mean, anytime you roll out an initiative, there's always a little pushback from somewhere. And usually it's not a big picture, like these are bad ideas, but everybody has a different idea about how to achieve the same objective. So you have to bring in a lot of different perspectives, a lot of different thoughts. And ultimately, there will likely be some small changes to these bills as more eyes see them. You know, there's a lot of smart people that have a lot of passion about these issues. So I imagine that there will be some pushback on some tweaks and some work done on both sides of the aisle to make sure we have the best product. Ultimately, I do believe these will be bipartisan. They have tended to be bipartisan issues in the past here, you know, on Earth Day. I've learned, you know, that it was a Republican and a Democrat. Governor Gaylord Nelson and former Republican Congressman Pete McCloskey were the co-chairs of this. So it's been historically a bipartisan issue, and I think it will continue to be.
So as you look forward here on the ongoing budget process, what are you watching for? What questions do you have as the budget comes together?
In terms of this, the environmental package that we're putting together, the biggest issue related to the budget is exactly the dollar amounts, specifically through the clean energy corridor. I mean, the more money that we have allocated to this program, the more we can do, the more we can spread out these corridors throughout the state. You know, it would be nice to have several different charging stations at one location that, you know, that provides certainty to people that if two people show up at the same time, they're both able to plug in and be on their way. I mean, this whole program is, you know, designed to be as efficient as possible. So the more charging stations and more opportunities you have, the better. So my eyes in terms of this package of proposals specific to the budget, it's going to be on that dollar amount that's going to be allocated from that settlement fund to these clean energy corridors.
And this package of bills, is it all being introduced by Republicans, Republican lawmakers?
Yeah, we hope to have bipartisan support. So people from both sides of the aisle to be co-sponsors But I have worked with Chairman of the Energy and Utilities Committee, Mike Coons, very closely on this legislation. We've also, you know, there has been some ideas for clean energy corridor stuff from the other side of the aisle and certain talks that we've had. So we're looking to incorporate some of ideas from both sides within some of these programs. So I do believe you'll see both Republicans and Democrats name attached to the bill. Thus far, myself and Representative Mike Coolidge have been the main authors, and that's typically just how it works at this stage of the process to make sure you have the authors putting all the language together, and that way when you send it out and there's changes to be made, you're ready for it and you have kind of a streamlined process.
We have a tiny bit of time left with you, but on our radar, Governor Tony Evers announced he wants to change the state's multi-billion dollar deal with Foxconn, saying it's unrealistic that the company will employ 13,000 workers as promised, given the company has decided to go with a smaller footprint. What are you watching for here with Foxconn?
Well, I think the current deal with Foxconn is a very good deal because it's pay for performance. So if Foxconn doesn't create 13,000 jobs, they won't get the entire incentive package. So I think I like the way it's currently designed, where the more jobs you create, the more incentives you earn. And if you don't create the intended targets, then you don't get those incentives. You know, the last pay period that they failed to qualify to meet those job incentives, and they didn't get any state funding. So the current bill is designed. And I think it's risky to go back and renegotiate a deal that's already been negotiated, and it's a good deal for the state of Wisconsin.
And we have to we have to stop right there, Representative Nealon. Thanks for joining us. Adam Nealon is a Republican state representative from Pewaukee. This is the Ideas Network. We're talking about the Conservation Congress annual survey results on the state capitol report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The DNR spring hearings allow for input and testimony on proposed rule changes and questions relating to fish and wildlife management here in Wisconsin. Close to 11,000 people took part in the spring survey earlier this month, and that marks a 55% increase in participation from last year. Did you participate in the spring survey or meetings? What did you contribute? What wildlife and conservation topics are you invested in? And how would you like the state to manage chronic wasting disease in deer? Join in at 800-642-1234. Kari Lee Zimmerman is the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources Conservation Congress liaison. Kari, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Well, give us some background. What is the Conservation Congress? How does it work?
Oh, the Conservation Congress is a really unique organization. It's the only system that we have like it in the United States. And it's a quite old system, actually. It was created in 1937. And so it's been going for about 85 years. And it's a system that has citizens who are volunteers representing each county and providing that public, that link between the public input and the department and the Natural Resources Board.
And so there are these meetings that occurred April 8th, is that right?
Yes, yep.
And so give us, you know, help us understand what happens at one of these meetings.
So the spring hearings are an annual meeting that are held in each county in Wisconsin. And they are a combination between a meeting for the Department of Natural Resources and a meeting for the Conservation Congress. So it's a jointly held meeting between the two. And they allow for public input on proposed rule changes from the department, and then also advisory questions that the Congress is wanting to ask the citizens how they feel about these various issues. In addition, there's also an opportunity to elect the delegates that represent you in your county, and citizens can also bring forward resolutions or their ideas for changes.
And this year there was an online component added. Why was an online survey needed?
Yeah, so we wanted to be sure that we were getting as much input from the citizens as we could. And we know that it's difficult for people to make it to a meeting when it's held at a specific time on a specific night. You know, people have lots of obligations and they may work second shift or they may have young children. So with a lot of competing interests and things going on, we wanted to make sure that people had an opportunity to get their voices out there. So we implemented this online system, which allowed for 3 days of people to be able to go online and share their input and thoughts on the questions in that manner.
And you had an influx of survey results from having the online addition to this process.
Yeah, we did. I think it was really well received. I think that it was a useful component to be added to the process, and I think it was well received by the people. And you'll recall maybe April 8th, it was a beautiful day. The weather was really nice, and there was a big basketball game on. So there was a lot of different things going on. So I think that maybe people were drawn to using the online option and, you know, and going outside and going for a bike ride, you know, and they maybe didn't stay at the meeting as long as they otherwise would have. So
there were competing interests.
Absolutely.
So how does a topic or resolution get on the agenda for these hearings or this year become a topic on the survey?
So most of the questions that the Conservation Congress asked have come through the system and started as citizen resolutions. So any citizen in any county can show up at a spring hearing with their idea for change if they see a problem or a concern that they have and they have what they feel is a good resolution to it. They can write it up in a resolution and bring it to the spring hearings. And then the people that attend that spring hearings can provide their input on it and let them know if they're in favor of it or not. And if it gets a favorable input, then it would move on in the Congress process, which would then the resolution would advance to a study committee for the Congress where it's discussed and considered by the delegates on that committee. And they are also department liaisons to those committees to provide biological input on them as well.
We're talking. Go ahead.
Oh, and then so it would just advance through the process and then possibly become a question on the statewide questionnaire the next year at the spring hearings.
We're talking with Kari Lee Zimmerman. She is the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources Conservation Congress liaison. And you can join in the conversation at 800-642-1234. What rules and policy do you want the DNR to act on? What do you want to know about how the DNR uses the information from the Conservation Congress? You can call in, email ideas at WPR.org. Kari, there were 88 questions on this year's survey, and citizens can actually propose rule changes to the state's fishing, trapping, and hunting regulations. One of those is to change the bag limit for walleye on the Winnebago system. Can you help us understand, break that down for us?
Yeah, so that was a proposal from the Department of Natural Resources, from the fisheries section, and they were interested in getting feedback on that. And in addition to the spring hearings, they held a number of other public meetings on those in those counties sort of that are highly affected by it near the Winnebago system. Walleye are obviously a very important resource in the state and provide a lot of recreation and also economic impact to the area. So getting a lot of input from the people that are affected by that was really important to the department. So we got some great public input at the spring hearings, and the department will be reviewing all of that input and making their determination on whether or not to move that proposed rule forward at the May board meeting.
And it's interesting just how individual citizen voices can play such a role in policy making.
Yeah, it's a really important component that we have here, especially in Wisconsin. Like I said, there's no other place in the United States that has, I think, this level of citizen involvement and input in the resource management and policy decision. And I think that just shows sort of how much that Wisconsinites care about the resources and want to be a part of the management of them.
This year, the Conservation Congress asked about input about a proposal to ban lead ammunition. What is being considered there?
So, yeah, they did provide a question regarding the ban on lead ammunition and also one on lead fishing sinkers of 1 ounce or less. And those questions, it looks like, just looking at the results quickly, it looks like they did not get sort of overall favorable input, but it was a fairly slim margin. So, again, the Congress will take these results to their annual convention in Appleton and consider all of this input before they make their determination as a position, not from the organization.
When it's a slim margin on these types of questions, how do you evaluate that? You know, what is your takeaway when you see some, divided but very close calls?
I think the takeaway is just that, is that it's, an issue that people feel strongly about, but there are, competing interests on both sides of the issue, so to speak. And so making a determination based on all of the input and all the considerations will be what they'll have to consider in May.
Citizens weighed in on how they'd like chronic wasting disease, or CWD, to be managed. Can you tell us about that question?
Yeah, I believe you may be talking about the pilot study for payment for positives.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, that was an issue that came through as a citizen resolution there again. And I can't speak to the intent from the resolution authors, but I believe that they were looking to, see if this possible option, this pilot program would show that they could take more CWD-affected animals off the landscape through this sort of program, sort of by changing how they're hunted and taken off the landscape in highly areas where there's a lot of CWD.
So this payment for positives program would include offering incentives to kill deer infected with CWD. Is that it?
I think it was more of if you harvest an infected deer, then you would receive a payment. For that deer, for getting it off the landscape. It's currently you receive a new tag. If you have a CWD positive deer, you receive a replacement tag. And I believe the intent was that you would receive some sort of payment to help get those infected animals off the landscape.
What did the Conservation Congress results say about a baiting and feeding ban?
The input from the citizens was positive, and pretty strongly positive on that. It looks like over 5,000 people supported baiting and feeding ban, and just under 3,000 did not support it.
Water quality was also addressed. Where did the people come down on managing waste runoff?
Water quality is a really big issue all over the state. So they were very, very firmly in the for increasing setbacks from fields near water or streams to 30 feet. So that was over 7,000 people supported that. But again, this would be a policy decision that would require legislation. So that would require people in the legislature to propose a bill and go that route.
We're talking about the results from the DNR's spring hearings and the Conservation Congress county meetings held earlier this month. Each year, they collect public input on conservation and environmental issues. Kari Lee Zimmerman is our guide. She is the DNR's Conservation Congress liaison, and you can join in at 800-642-1234. Did you participate in the Conservation Congress survey? What wildlife and conservation issues are you invested in? And how would you like the state to manage CWD? Call in. You can also email ideas at WPR.org. We'll be back with this, more on the spring hearings, in just a minute on the Ideas Network. We're talking about the spring survey results in the Conservation Congress. You're with us for the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The hearings are held annually to collect public input on conservation and environmental issues, and this year's ballot had 88 questions, including 49 proposed fishing, hunting, or trapping rule changes. Next month, Conservation Congress delegates will gather in Appleton to start working through all of the results from each county that won enough votes to pass. Outdoors people, we want to hear from you. What's on your mind regarding Wisconsin's natural resources? And farmers, what would you like to tell the DNR about your experience? Join in at 800-642-1234. Tweet us at WPR Mornings. Kari Lee Zimmerman stays with us. She is the Wisconsin DNR's Conservation Congress liaison. Let's go to the phones now with Tom joining us from Viroqua. Hi, Tom.
Yes, good morning. I understand the advantages of having the online voting, but I found both in Vernon County, where I attended, and elsewhere from the records, it looks like actual real attendance at the meetings was down as more people stayed home. And I think that's kind of a great loss, because you don't have that opportunity for the you know, defending particular or the discussion back and forth, the real town hall meeting kind of a spirit that I always thought was so valuable about, and particularly for citizen initiated resolutions. People who are voting online don't even see those resolutions, and there's no opportunity to disseminate new information or new ideas to them. And I wonder how the Conservation Congress intends to proceed with that limitation.
Tom, thank you so much for that. Tom is missing that camaraderie, that town hall feel, and that ability to talk with other like-minded people. Kari?
Yeah, I mean, we did see attendance in person go down this year. I am not sure that we can, as a whole, attribute that to the online option. I think that, like we talked about before, I mean, there was a number of other things happening on April 8th that probably helped contribute to that. But online, the fact that people could go online and do it probably was, to some extent, have an impact on that. Moving forward, the Congress will look at how it went this year using the new, this was our first year, our first sort of shot at doing it. Overall, I think it went well, but we're going to definitely review how it all went and, you know, make tweaks to the system as we need to moving forward. And the department and the Congress will work together to make sure that moving forward, we're trying to get as much input and still maintain, you know, because having that discussion in person is really valuable.
So we don't know yet if the online survey is here to stay.
I think that it will be here next year. It you know, whether or not it looks exactly the same or there are some different options available, you know, that those are things that are yet to be determined.
Kari, citizens also supported restoring public funding for public lands in this year's Conservation Congress. Can you tell us about that resolution?
Yeah, well, again, I can't speak to the intent of the authors originally. I think that overall, the output from the spring hearings tells me that the citizens of Wisconsin feel really strongly that they want to make sure that the public lands that we have are adequately funded and making sure that we're able to do the management on those lands that they need. So, you know, what degree of funding that is, I'm not sure. And that's up to the people who are making the policy decisions. But, you know, I'm really glad to see that the citizens are engaged and want to support the public lands of the state.
Approximately what percentage of DNR policy and procedures comes from Conservation Congress ideas and the citizen process?
I would say that, I mean, a good portion of the questions, I couldn't maybe give you a percentage, but I would say a good portion of the questions that move through the department and come out as proposed rule changes have gone through the Congress process and been originated as resolutions have come from citizens. So a lot of the changes to maybe bag limits or size limits on specific lakes, I mean, you know, a lot of those come from resolutions from people who, you know, fish those lakes really heavily and have a great understanding of those fisheries. And then they work with their local biologist and have it go through the process.
Do you think if you didn't have the Conservation Congress that there would perhaps be a blind spot for the DNR?
I think that the Congress is a really valuable tool for the public to get their voice to the department. And I think it's really valuable for the department to sort of work backwards through the Congress and disseminate information back to the public. So I think it's a really valuable link in the communication between the state and the public.
We're talking with Kari Lee Zimmerman. She is the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources Conservation Congress Liaison. There's still a line for you, 800-642-1234. Do you take part in the Conservation Congress survey or meetings? What do you wish to convey? What wildlife and conservation topics are you most concerned about? Call in. You can also email ideas at WPR.org. Kari, former Governor Walker eliminated the minimum hunting age for Wisconsin in 2017. Did the Conservation Congress weigh in on anything around that?
They will be looking at the results of the question that was, there was a question this year to bring back the age 10 minimum, and they'll be reviewing that in Appleton because I believe that it did pass with fairly significant support.
And what happens next after citizens weigh in? Are there items the DNR can immediately implement, act on?
The rule proposals from the department, any rule proposals that were on the department side as proposed rule changes, the department will be reviewing that input from the spring hearing, and the proposals that they want to advance, they'll go to the Natural Resources Board at their May meeting. And then the Congress will be reviewing their advisory questions and the input from those, and they will be sending, based on how they choose to support or not support the outcomes, they'll be sending a letter to the department asking the department for further consideration on the items that they are advancing.
Certainly, when you look at these questions, wording has a lot to do, perhaps, and can be tricky, can be sensitive. How do you come up with the correct wording for these questions?
Yeah, that's always a trick. So we do our very best to work with, we have a lot of eyes on these questions. We work with the department staff and the Congress, and we've tried very hard to provide questions that are sort of well-rounded and balanced and give all the different sides of the story and try not to sway people one way or the other. So we're trying not to make people's decisions for them, but just giving them the facts that they can then make their own decision.
What about the parts of the survey results that need Wisconsin's legislature to act on? What happens on those?
So those, we have some legislators that attend the spring hearing, so we have legislators that are, you know, engaged in this process, obviously. Those results are available to legislators that are interested then in writing legislation and drafting a bill if they choose to do so. These are also results then that are available for the public to reach out to their legislators, if they're interested in encouraging them to proceed forward with some sort of change.
Kari, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me, and happy Earth Day. It was great being here.
You too. Kari Lee Zimmerman is the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources Conservation Congress liaison, and we've been talking about this year's Conservation Congress survey results. Just ahead, we are going to hear from an Australian sports reporter covering the Milwaukee Bucks. Consider what the end of Game of Thrones means for the future of binge watching. And we'll talk with environmentalist Tia Nelson and Senator Russ Feingold about Earth Day. A lot coming up. I'm Kate Archer Kent. This is the State Capitol Report. You're with us on the Ideas Network.